This is Connor Lennon from UN News. The teaching of traditional cultural practices like tattooing not only preserves cultural identities, but underlines the important role Indigenous people can play in the modern world, according to a practitioner of the art of tattooing in Hawaii. Keone Nunez brought the practice of the traditional art form back to Hawaii from Samoa in the 1990s after it was largely forgotten in the US island state. Only age-old handmade tools made of whalebone, wood and fibres are used to tap natural ink permanently into the skin. Keone Nunez was interviewed as part of a photography project by the UN's International Labour Organization, Dignity at Work, The American Experience, which documents the working life of people across the United States. He spoke to Kevin Cassidy, the director of the ILO's Office for the United States, while he was tapping a new design onto the leg of a client with the help of two assistants. Talking ahead of International Arts Education Week, which begins on May 25th, Keone Nunez began by explaining what it means to be Hawaiian.
There's a lot of different meanings for different people. For me, it's always been a responsibility to carry on tradition, to carry on the knowledge base that was created by my ancestors, by our ancestors, and acknowledge that sacrifice and that work and that ethic that in this day and age sometimes is so easy to forget. For me, that's what it means. It doesn't mean entitlement, it doesn't mean anything else. It just means that we have more responsibility than others, especially in this land. Yeah.
So if I could ask a little bit about your connection to the land and the importance of that in sort of the Hawaiian culture.
Well, the land is always important because the aina is what feeds us, the aiana. The aiana, the feeding of, is in the land, in the aina. I think in modern perspective, you know, there's reverence for the aina, and that was always there because you had to respect the aina in order for it to produce foods so that we could thrive as people. But at the same time, it was respected, but you needed to change it in order for it to produce. Mm-hmm. And so, although a lot of people say that we're one with nature, in a sense we were, but in a larger sense, we knew how to make as little impact on the environment as possible in order to sustain us as people.
So today, you know, in the UN, in these big corridors of international organizations, they talk about sustainability.
Yeah.
So do you think about, I mean, you've kind of talked about it. That sustainability is important, right?
And that's why, you know, when we had fishing seasons, if you will, we had what was called kapu with fishing, so that when the spawning of the fish and the breeding of the fish came at certain periods of time, we wouldn't bother them, you know, and we let them grow. And, you know, a lot of people now, they kind of do the opposite of what was done traditionally. Now, they keep, like, when you fish for a certain fish, you have to have a regulation size, right? Mm-hmm. In Hawaii before, the big fish was, you didn't touch them too much. Because they're the ones that was breeding. They're the ones that were producing future generations. But it was a medium-sized fish that, you know, if you let the small fish grow and towards medium size, that's what you wanted. Yeah. So it's kind of interesting to see how people view things, because now they want to just get the biggest fish and all of that kind of stuff. But the biggest fish was the ones that were producing, you know, eggs and little fish and all of that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So we had that idea before.
Right.
But, you know, unfortunately, there's oftentimes conflict with overall society, with right. The dominant society. So anyway.
Right. So back to your art here. You mentioned what you were doing. What are the tools that you're using? And you know, the tapping of this. Is there a significance to that? Is there a rhythm or music to that? Is there, you know, a deeper meaning than the actual function itself?
Oh yeah, this method is thousands of years old. This is the same method that was used throughout the Pacific and in areas of Southeast Asia, and possibly even originating in India, in the northeast area of India. They tap like this all over the Pacific, and it's a rebirth. Because tattooing wasn't just for decoration. It was to honor your family. It was to honor yourself. It was to honor the future generations. And so he's doing this because he wants to, but he's doing this not only for himself, but for his kids and for their kids and all of that, because from now on they will see the pattern and they would know who this person is. And it's also to acknowledge your ancestry, so that when the time comes for him to join his ancestors, they recognize who he is. Yeah. So there's a lot more than just...
Yeah.
A tattoo, yeah.
So in terms of, the connection to the community, do you feel that, say, the younger generation themselves are stepping away because they are by pressure of, their friends in school or, you know, to get a job, to get that apartment, that car, that trip, to live a life of... a little bit more of conspicuous consumption. Do you see that happening, or do you see that the younger generation do understand the importance of keeping up the sort of culture and traditions?
You know, I don't want to make a blanket statement on that, but I think because there are some that will definitely step away and will try and embrace a lifestyle that is more within the dominant society, but there are. Quite a few, like these, I mean, they're young, that in my opinion is looking back to our traditions to kind of define who they are. Yeah. But maybe you guys, I mean, that's a perfect question for you guys. What do you guys think? Caillou, you never say nothing.
Is there like a people... I mean, kind of like how he said, there's some people who are, you know, it might not, we were just talking about, it might not be convenient for them, you know, so they might go the other way, but, there are people looking for, I guess everyone right now is kind of like almost trying to find your identity, and this is one way that some people, you know, find their identity, look back to their ancestors, learn a little bit more about themselves and their family. So, I mean, there are people who are interested in that kind of thing. And almost in, like he was talking about sustainability and stuff, it almost seems like some of our ancestors had a lot of the answers to the questions we have right now about how the world is working and our consumption and, you know, social and moral values and things like that. The more you look back into, you know, some of our ancestors and how they were living, the more you kind of realize how they might have had it right. And we kind of strayed away from that path, you know, that path of being Pono, which is part of our Pono is like righteousness and, you know, things like that for us. And, you know, that's how they lived in, you know, Pono. And,
you know, what I think a lot of people don't really give much thought to is the fact that all of the problems that we have, it's not new problems. It's just regurgitated in a different form. And so the answers to those problems are within our own cultures and in our own societies, but we got to be willing to look outside the box and look at different ways in which we can address those current situations. And sometimes the best way to address those current situations is by looking at how our ancestors dealt with it. So like when there were different environmental issues, how did they deal with that? When there was illnesses, like all of our families suffered illness.
You're using a technology, you know, it may be an ancient technology, but it's still a technology.
Right.
How is technology impacting your arts, or is it at all impacting your arts?
Oh yeah, it definitely does, because there is an assumption that if something is more technologically, quote unquote, advanced, that it would be better for you. And so there's an assumption that, you know, if somebody is working with machine, then it'll go quicker and it'll heal faster and all of that kind of stuff. That's an assumption. But the reality is quite the opposite. And so sometimes when we're looking at things, we're looking at it in a very ethnocentric way. Mm-hmm. And not only is it ethnocentric, it also does not acknowledge the achievements of traditional people. And not only with Hawaiians, but I mean, they don't know how they made the pyramids. I mean, you know, all of that kind of stuff. When you look at Angkor Wat and those sites, they don't know how they did it. Right. And so it's important for people to acknowledge that there is value in a lot of the traditional knowledge in all of our peoples.
Yeah. Right.
And so that's why I do this. The reason why I do this is because there was a purpose. And the purpose of doing it in this fashion outweighs that of a machine. This is our way of identifying who we are as a people. And if that identification helps an individual with their own journey, or whatever that journey might be, then I think that that's a continuation of an idea or a process that needs to be reestablished. Because, you know, for many years when we didn't do tattooing, there was no rite of passage. The rite of passage was a Western rite of passage of getting drunk, of getting a license, of having sex, all of that kind of stuff. Whereas traditionally, this is part of who we were, and this is part of our own rite of passage. And we have to acknowledge that, because even though it might not be within the tattoo itself might be in conflict with Western societal views of what is appropriate or not, mm-hmm. it didn't matter, because this is our views. This is who we are as a people. And so that's why I continue to do it this way, because, you know, if you get a machine and you do it, it's all well and good, but you're not acknowledging who you are. You're letting another technology that was developed by other people determine who you are. And we don't need that, because we have our own technology. And it works just as well as, you know, I can honestly say that if we was doing this with a machine, I wouldn't be as far as I am now, because this is typically faster and less painful. So what good is modern technology when traditional technology, right, was just as good, if not better?
Well, if the electricity goes down, you can still do your work.
Yeah, just got to move to the light.
One of the issues that we also look at in the Sustainable Development Goals is looking at gender equality, women's empowerment. Mm-hmm. We have a young woman here who is learning the arts. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to get you to say something at some point, if you don't mind. I mean, what is it like in the Native Hawaiian culture for a woman?
So there is no such thing in the way that I was raised, that everyone was equal. Everyone complemented each other. So a wahine would compliment a kane. So she compliments the fact that she's putting healing energy into this work, where I'm pulling out the opposite. Kekaliloa has skills that if he does well and if I do my skills well, that will complement each other. And it's not about being equal, it's about complementing each other's strengths. You know, sometimes we forget that.
In terms of education.
Yes.
I mean, here you have two apprentices, as it were, that are learning your art.
Yeah.
How important is it to continue these traditions and the types of formal, non-formal education in passing that along to the next generation?
Well, that's a loaded question, because in my opinion, what they're doing is formal education.
Right.
Not necessarily in a Western sense, but it is formal in a very Hawaiian sense. Again, that's the way you view things. So there's a difference in viewing things, yeah?
Absolutely.
And so...
I'm here to learn as well, too, so please excuse my ignorance.
No. No, it's not that. It's just that you're coming from your own experience and your own base, and that's fine. That's no problem. But for me, these guys are learning in a formal situation, and it's important that they learn in this situation, because then... when it comes out to having their kids, they have a first-hand knowledge, not a book knowledge. So book knowledge is one thing, experience is another. Yeah, and so I think that, you know, hopefully these guys are getting some of the experiential thing that will be necessary for when they have kids, that they'll be able to go ahead and share all of these things. To me, it's important to carry on these traditions, because it's almost like when an animal becomes extinct, then there's something that's missing. You don't exactly know what, but there's something that's missing. And for me, I think that this needs to carry on, because it's almost like having, you know, you've probably heard this before also. It's almost like having a paper cut. And one paper cut might not feel too bad, but you get 1,000 paper cuts. With every loss of cultural practice, that's one paper cut. And after 1,000 paper cuts, it can kill you, you know. And so this is just one of those thin slivers of cultural practices that, for the most part, many people might not think is important, might not understand, but for us, it fulfills something that is vitally important for all of us to live who we are. Yeah. Mm-hmm.